by Praveen, and Praveen to watch a very, very wonderful elaborated on the questions. I was very appreciative of the points made today by Praveen as well as by Praveen, hitting the nail. That's going to the root of all the problem. We are now caught up in a world which is full of problems. How are we to find solution to the problems of the world is a pressing question in the mind of every educated man. On one hand, communists thought that by dividing the money equally amongst all the people of the world can become a happy place. Is it not? Because there is money, there is food, there is place to live. Why should all of us not live a happy life by sharing it with one another? On the other hand, the capitalist said that if you share everything of the world, then man will become lazy. That's what happened in Russia, isn't it? Communism, which survived for so many years, ultimately collapsed completely. Because when you preach communism, naturally an intelligent man does not want to work. Because if you work very hard, you get the same amount. And if you don't work, you are anyway going to get it. So naturally, a lazy man doesn't work, and a rich man doesn't have any impetus to work. So in this way, ultimately, whole society goes down. But still, even today you can find there is an ongoing fight between capitalists and communists, even today. The capitalists are trying to do political maneuvering by which they are trying to cheat the innocent poor public. On the other hand, communists are fighting for the stolen bread. They are raising flags, they are forming unions, and they are somehow trying to get their bread and survive. So this is going on, and somehow other people are trying to create a balance in this world. But somehow we see that the problems are only on the increase. So a question arises in the mind, can we set right all these problems without taking help of God? That's what people want to do, isn't it? Man is trying to find out whether is it possible to set right these problems without talking about God, religion and things like that. It is exactly like saying, buying a very beautiful picture for which the price is your eyes. What is the use of a picture if you are going to pay eyes as a price? You will never be able to look at it or be happy with it. But it is not an exaggeration, it is a reality. We can practically prove it. If you see, man has made repeated attempts to set right the situation in this world. Like a simple example, Latur, once 35,000 people died in Latur earthquakes. Not only that, 800 crores worth property was lost. How can I set right this problem? So man is reading a newspaper that 35,000 people died and 800 crores of rupees was lost. And he is asking his wife, please bring me a cup of tea. And he is sipping the tea and he is looking at the newspaper. But this fellow doesn't know, by sipping the tea, how he is not able to set right this problem. Because in India, do you know how many people are drinking tea? Approximately 20 crore people. And let us assume that these 20 crore people are drinking tea every day, which was not at all known to them before the British people came to India. When British people came to India, they introduced this tea and it has become so famous today. So much so that the man is, modern man thinks that I cannot live without it. It is a myth, but he is imagining it. So, if everyone is drinking tea, 20 crore people, if one tea costs rupees 2, and he is taking 2 teas a day, that means how much money it comes to? 80 crores per day. So, 20 crore people are drinking 2 teas per day, which costs 2 rupees each, it comes to 80 crores per day. So, 10 days, if people can stop drinking tea, then the last property can be recovered. Not only that, if they permanently stop drinking tea, then how much more India can grow economically, just see. Not only that, not just stopping drinking tea, not only that, all those cultivable lands where they are putting tea plants, if they replace it with grains, then there won't be any food problem in India. Today there is so much food problem in India which man is talking about. So this is because of the intense greed of man. So both the things, by putting paddy fields in all these cultivable lands, we can grow so much food. But man has turned against nature and is cultivating this poisonous tea, which is actually a drug in one sense, because it contains nicotine. Somebody was asking, how can you practically show that ISKCON philosophy helps to satisfy us? In ISKCON we don't drink tea. So if all people become ISKCON followers in India, per day you can save how much? 80 crore rupees per day for India. How can India grow economically? Just imagine. But if one does not take help of God for setting right these problems, he only further complicates the problem. Like for example, we were talking about the economic development last week. Now man thought, especially Indians, they thought if we develop economically, then we can set right the poverty in India. Now India is in so much abject poverty. Let us set it right by developing India exactly like America. Let us also advance economically. Let us have industries. Let us have huge flyovers. Let us have skyscraper buildings. Then we will also grow economically and we can make India a happy place. There won't be any poverty. That's what man thought. But today if you see, man is living in cities. There are three main causes of disease. There are three main causes of disease, it is said by Ayurveda, it is said. One is unclean habits or inhygienic habits. Also overeating or eating things which are not necessary for the body. That is one of the reasons. Third is stress. So I was telling about overeating, like drinking tea, eating meat, dining very very costly foodstuffs like pizza or things like that, which are actually not necessary for the body. Or if you see conferences and meetings, what kind of food they eat, you must have seen, opulent foodstuffs. So many companies, so many institutions are offering such conferences and eating such foods, and people are overeating so much that they are getting diseases. Not only that, man in the name of developing economically went to cities, and there is no facility for passing stool. So he has an attached latrine, which he thinks is very wonderful. Like we have an attached latrine at home. But that is actually a breeding place for powerful germs, which have such which cause such deadly diseases in human body. And they are all actually stored within one's own house. Not only that, in the name of being very hygienic, he adds water to the stool and then he mixes it and sends through how? Through long pipes outside the city. But when these pipes go, they mix with the drinking water and man is drinking the same water. Yes, they are drinking the same water. Man may say, no, we are filtering the water so it is purer. What kind of justification is that? See the plight. So man wanted to develop economically so that he can remove poverty. But in the course of developing economically, he has become trapped in these three things. Overeating, inhygienic life, if you see, and stress. Not only that, although man has so much facilities, there is no motivation for being hygienic in cities. If you see, there are so many hotels where they cook so many foodstuffs. But if you see, they will only clean the place only if they come to know that there is some plague or something in the city, or there is some contamination. Otherwise they will never clean it. And all the spoons and forks and other things are just in the customary way dipped in water and taken back and given to the next person for eating like that. There is no cleanliness at all. So in this way, in the name of economic development, man has invited more and more trouble in the name of earning money. Like people living in cities, due to stress, hypertension, mental related illness, they get such sickness in the body that 90% of their money goes away in taking care of the body, even after earning so much money. So man thought, by economic development we can remove poverty and that way we can serve the poor people. But did we ever succeed in that? It is exactly like there is a story in Greek mythology that one man named Sisyphus, he was given a punishment. that a huge boulder, a spherical stone, he had to push it and move it with all his strength and take it to the top of the mountain. And then I have to release it there. Then it will come rolling back to the ground. And again he has to roll it back and take it to the top of the mountain. First of all, it's a round boulder. Why it's a round boulder? Because round one is very difficult to move. It's not very easy also. To take it to the top of the mountain, it's very huge and he had to do it alone. And he has to take it to the top of the mountain and release it. And repeatedly he has to do the same activity. Is it not a laborious activity? How boring it is to do. But there were armed fighters, soldiers standing by his side to 24 hours vigilantly watch whether he is doing or not. He cannot even take rest for one moment. He has to repeatedly roll it and take it to the top and leave it like that. This is the condition of modern man. He tries to set right the problems and it appears that he has arrived at a solution where everyone is going to become happy. Then he comes back to square A again. So the cycle of birth and death is going on. You try to improve yourself, you come to a stage, again you die, again you are born, again you go on and on and on. And the problems appear to have some solution, and in the course of enjoying that solution, man again suffers. He comes back to square. Today's problems are practically unsolvable. There are hundreds of them that we can say. So when man tries to find out a solution without reference to God, this is what he ends with. So the condition of modern man is like a child who is lying in the midst of stool and urine, crying, and the child doesn't know what to do. How can he be saved? So exactly like the child who takes shelter of his mother, naturally man, unless he takes shelter of God, there is no possibility of peace on earth. So we have to hit the nail. That's the first point. Why does man suffer? What is the cause of all suffering? If only you can find out the solution, find out the answer to this one question, then it is meaningful to pursue the solution. If you do not know the problem, then how will you know the solution? If you do not know the root cause of the problem, then how can you attack the solution? It's useless giving solutions. In our condition stage, we are practically blind. So we do not know what is the real problem. The real problem is greed. Greed is the real problem. Like somebody was asking, how can you say that Krishna consciousness makes one satisfied? There is a proverb in English, a family that prays together, stays together. A family that prays together, stays together. So those people who keep God in the center of their life, they are the happiest people. They can stay together. Why? Because they lose this greedy propensity. But if you do not lose this greed, naturally the suffering is going to be multiplied. Like I was telling you, we will not die without tea, we will not die without cigarettes, we will not die without liquor, we will not die without fighting with so many people. Ultimately, if you see, all these things are arising only out of man's greed. This is the root cause of all the problems. So the scriptures are like a mother. They tell us that the key point is the venomous mentality to enjoy separate from God. This is the venomous mentality. Just like in a snake, what is the most dangerous part of a snake? Poisonous fangs, poisonous teeth. That is the most dangerous part of a snake. If you remove that part, then you can play with the snake. There is no problem. That's why you see in cities also people carry snakes without any fear. Because the snake cannot do anything to you if you remove that poisonous snake, poisonous venom in his teeth. In the same way, the poisonous venom is the pap karne ki pravritti, the propensity to commit sin. It is there in everyone. The sinful propensity is there in everyone. If you remove that propensity, then man can become truly happy. Once when Prabhupada was giving a lecture like this, in a huge audience, one man stood up and shouted at him, "What is this? You are talking about chanting Hare Krishna all the time. You are saying Krishna Krishna all the time. Why don't you serve the poor? There are so many masses in India who are suffering without food and they are speaking about God. It is a luxury to think of God now. First you have to fulfill the necessity for India, which is food." He was arguing. So Srila Prabhupada replied to him, "What about others? We are ready to provide you food every day, morning and evening. twice a day he will provide your food and for your entire life. Are you ready to come to our ashram and chant 15 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day and follow the four regulative principles? No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication and no illicit sex. Immediately the man sat down. Nobody knew where he was. So people are not ready to give up sin. That is their problem. Why are they suffering? Because they are not ready to give up sin. As soon as man becomes ready to give up sin, immediately God arranges to provide for all his needs. Not for his greed, but for his need. God will certainly provide all that he needs. But because if A is greedy, naturally B is going to suffer. Because if one man is greedy, then he is going to usurp others' property and keep it under his control, like we were talking about the capitalists. So that other people are going to suffer. But even if you try to create communism by giving everyone, without God consciousness, still they cannot be peaceful. It is not possible. Because that's what they tried in Russia. It worked out for some time, but it immediately collapsed. Because trying to create a kingdom of God without God is a phantasmagoria. It is simply a myth. It cannot happen. Because the soul has a relation with God and he cannot be satisfied with anything short of pure devotional service. Nothing short of pure devotional service can satisfy him. Just like a child, if somebody is trying to take away the child from the mother, you may give a lollipop to the child, you may give a toy to the child, you may give a tricycle, you may give him so many facilities, but the child knows this fellow is trying to cheat me. Actually, if he has to satisfy me, he has to take me to my mother. My mother is there and he is trying to take me away from my mother. He will cry. In the same way, if you have to satisfy any living being, you have to put him back in. For doing that service, you just put a person back in touch with his eternal father. That alone can satisfy him. In fact, that can satisfy him to such an extent that he will be happy with nothing else. He will be happy with nothing else. Like if I tell you, I will give you a beautiful house in Lonavala, you can go and stay during the season there. There are beautiful waterfalls. You can stay in Lonavala and we have a beautiful garden where there are beautiful flowers. And you can stay there for a month. Only I will not give you your daily food. You go to Lonavala? Lonavala is such a wonderful place. Why don't you go? And you like seeing waterfalls. You have seen the mist and fog there. Beautiful big mountains and greenery there. Why don't you go and enjoy? Because I am depriving you of the most essential element in your life, which is food. In the same way, for the soul, being in touch with God is his natural birthright. If you deprive him of that, anything short of that you give him, he cannot be satisfied. This is actually the key point. We can speak a lot. We can speak hundreds of hours on which is better, social service is better or Krishna consciousness is better. But the open naked reality is, you cannot be happy even if you are given the daily food. People who are given food, you can see that in Master's triangle also he says food, clothing, shelter. Does it stop there? It doesn't. Because it goes beyond that. Then they want status, prestige in society. Then they want to compete with others and establish that distinction. So the triangle never ends there. It goes on and on and on. It goes above. So there is no end for human ambitions. Man who is greedy is certainly over-ambitious. Ambition is not wrong, but over-ambition will burn a person. Like somebody was telling, oh, if I become Krishna conscious, I will become like a sadhu, like a saintly person. Then I will lose all my greed and passion. Then I cannot work hard. If you want to be greedy, you are exactly like a grasshopper who is asking, why don't I enter the blazing fire? Why are you preventing me from entering the fire? So if you want to enter the fire and get consumed by the fire and be burnt and be fried out in the fire, you can do that. As long as you maintain the greed, you will have to suffer in the burning flames of the material world. So the whole world is on fire, it is suffering, and man is running here and there to somehow, some or other, sort out the solution. But efforts put by man without reference to God are simply useless. They are like the repeated attempts made by a sparrow who was trying to build a nest. The sparrow was trying to build a nest, and one devotee thought, you know, fan is there in this room. If the sparrow keeps coming inside, he may get hit in the fan and be killed. So let him not make any nest here. Let him make nest somewhere else. So he tried to remove the nest, and then again came the sparrow. He repeated it twice, fourth time, he kept trying. So the devotee was laughing at him, "See this fool." But he learned a good lesson. He learned, just like the attempts of the sparrow are repeatedly thwarted by me, still he doesn't stop his attempts. He is foolishly endeavoring, trying to make the nest. In the same way, a man is trying to go against the nature created by God and trying to somehow or other bring about peace and harmony in the material world without reference to God, and that is not to happen. No matter how much you endeavor, you can go on endeavoring like that, but every time you make a plan, it is smashed to dust by the power of material nature. Because the nature of the soul is to be connected to God, and you are trying to do something artificial without reference to God. So man has tried so long, and at last man is coming to his senses. Now in the recent times, there are elaborate talks going on amongst the world nations and world leaders regarding a unified religion for all the people of the world. In management field, in MBA field, some professors have had written an article in the newspaper, and in the Indian Express it has come. They had said that the boys who study MBA, after finishing the course, they are so much greedy for money that when they go for jobs in the companies, they behave exactly like cats and dogs. There is so much fight between leading managers of the company. Externally they are wearing shirt, coat, tie and other things. But when it comes to fight, they even physically go to the extent of fighting with one another, biting one another. They fight like that even after getting an MBA degree. In their cabins there is a big fight going on. You can see that. So they wanted to introduce ethics in the field of MBA. So they have something called as business ethics. There should be some ethics in their life because they are human beings. So everyone has become now busy talking about such important things. And man has begun to think about live and let live. You live peacefully and let others also live. Don't exploit them and try to squeeze out all the resources of other people. Don't encroach on others' property. This is the basic philosophy of the Vedas. Vedas say, Tera tena bhunjita, take whatever is your quota. Do not try to encroach on others' property. So this is there. But man committed a mistake. He falsely spoke about the Vedas as a myth and said that Vedas are saying that you should do this, you should do that. Ultimately, you see, Vedas are meant for keeping peace and harmony in society. Actually, there is no God or there is nothing like that. But by following these principles, people can live peacefully. That is why these principles are given. Is it a correct idea? It is a venomous and sinful proposition to say that the Vedas are simply giving some principles so that man can live in harmony happily. In fact, the same Vedas proclaim that even if man tries to live in harmony and peace, apart from God, he cannot be. If he tries to do so, it is exactly like amputating a hand and keeping it separately. If you cut off this hand and keep it separately, hand may look exactly the same, but it loses the potency. Now the hand has a potency, it can do activity. I can do anything with a finger now. But as soon as you cut off the hand from the body, what happens? Hand loses the potency. Similarly, as long as I am connected to God, I have the potency. But when I am disconnected from God, I lose the potency. And the Vedas clearly say that. Vedas are not given so that man can go with his animalistic propensities and live in harmony and peace. Vedas are not meant for that. The one thinks that the Vedas are meant for that, he is in a grand illusion. So man thought like that, and he wanted to create a harmony without God, and this is the condition of society today. You see for yourself, you cannot help anybody with such a tendency. So man has to come back to his senses and surrender to God. There is no second possibility. One very brilliant question was asked, which I thought was not answered, which was about how every man is a child of God. So serving man should be very pleasing to God, is it not? If you are serving man, that should be very pleasing to God. Because after all, every human being is a child of God. Does it not make sense to you? If every man is a child of God, then why should we not serve men? Why should we not serve the people? So that God will become happy. Certainly you should serve the people. There is no doubt about it. But how to serve the people, that will be known only to someone who is qualified. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, uses the word sarvabhuta hiterata. Sarvabhuta hiterata means, you know the meaning of the word hita? Hita? Ah, oh, welfare. Sarvabhuta hita means? Rata means engaged 24 hours a day. Sarvabhuta hiterata means one who is engaged 24 hours service to people. Do you know who is that person? That's why Krishna gives the example of a beautiful big, like a Galmuha tree or a banyan tree. So, a person who is serving the society to the best of his capacity is compared to that tree. Why? In a tree, ants, squirrels, you know, eagles or sparrows or snakes and even human beings take shelter of a tree. From hot sun or from the showers, man can take shelter of the tree, is it not? So, such a person is called as a kalpataru or vancha kalpataru, as we say, a tree. But who is that person? Who is that person who is doing the greatest welfare to every living being? Krishna himself defines that in Bhagavad Gita. He says, labante brahma nirvanam kishayakshina kalmasha chinna dvaidayata atmanah sarvabhuta hiterata. He says, labante brahma nirvanam. Those people achieve the ultimate truth, the Supreme God. Who is that? Vishaya kshina kalmasha is this. Kalmasha means sin. Vishaya kshina kalmasha. Those who are sinless people, those who have become free from all sins, they only deserve achieving the absolute truth. Chinna dvaita yatatmanaha. They have completely broken the complicated network of the dualities, namely honor and dishonor, sukha and dukha. All these different dualities, happiness and distress, joy and sorrow, they have broken all these dualities and they have become pure devotees of God. So such people alone deserve going back to God. Not only that, such people are called as sarvabhuta hiterata, he says. They are actually the people who can do real welfare for the humanity. So those people are allowed to serve the human beings. They know the best way of serving the people. So they teach us how to serve the people and we should learn from them. Why we have to approach such sinless people? What is the reason? Because if other people, even if they want to do good, they will not be able to do good. They will not be able to do good. You remember I was telling you the story one of the meetings, that when the mother had a small child who had a typhoid, and doctor had told her, never give any oily items to this child, otherwise he will die. So the mother was not thinking of giving the child. But the child was crying, mother, mother, give me puri, I want puri to eat. So the mother went away to the marketplace, and the brother was thinking, why mother is so cruel? Let me give my brother nice puris, let me make some puris and offer him. So he made some oily puris and gave his brother, small child, the brother died. So this is what happens. If you try to do good to people without knowing what is actually good for them, you are actually causing them harm than doing good to them. Even if your intention is good, your intention may be good, but if you do not know what is good, you cannot administer good to people. It is not possible. But the pure devotees of God, they know that the suffering of this living being is due to his lack of connection with God. As soon as you are connected to Krishna, immediately all your sufferings come to an end. With nothing, one can be happy. It is possible. But by and social service which is going on now in the name of so many organizations are doing, it is simply your cage polishing culture. You are nightly polishing the cage, forgetting the parrot inside. Actually, parrot is different from the cage, and you are polishing the cage. No matter how much you polish the cage and make it gold coated, the parrot is always going to keep crying. The parrot will never be happy because you have to feed the parrot. In the same way, there are so many social welfare organizations trying to create a fool's paradise in this material world. The name is a very deserving name, fool's paradise, a very wonderful name. Because it's certainly a fool's paradise where there are plenty of fools but trying to create a paradise, trying to create a hell on, and trying to create a heaven on hell. It is a myth. Without connecting to God, one cannot feel any kind of happiness or satisfaction in the core of one's heart. It can be easily proved from those who have become devotees. You become a devotee, you will realize that. First of all, people don't even know what is real happiness. You become a devotee, you practice chanting Hare Krishna on a regular basis. Then you can see through, like you can have X-ray vision to see how people are suffering in this world. If you are yourself a drunkard, you cannot know how drunkards are suffering. First you come out of it, you come out of the illusion of the material world, then you can see how the people are suffering in this world. In the name of happiness, they are complicating their lives. And even if you do social service, how many people are you going to reach? How much ability do you have to provide food? As I told you, on one hand you are giving out food from your pocket, on the other hand they are converting all the cultivable lands into tobacco lands. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to set it right? It's like, you know, one man is trying to put on fire, another man is putting water, isn't it? You are trying to set fire and somebody is putting water. So you have a good intention to help the poor people suffering in the world. So you are trying to serve them and help them in some way, and somebody else is actually trying to exploit, and it has a repercussion, is it not? It has an effect in overall society. Every person in this world either has to be a part of the problem or part of the solution. So even if you try to be part of the solution by helping the poor, there are hundreds and thousands of people who are a part of the problem of the world, who are trying to create more and more complication in the modern society. So Krishna consciousness movement is offering a permanent solution to all the problems. It's a permanent solution. You are completely taken out of this whole chaotic system. This whole world is in chaos. It is exactly like a house on fire. A house on fire, first you have to save yourself, is it not? You have to run away, run out of the house. You have to find out some way, either the door or the window or the roof, from where you break it open and you escape out of it. No matter how much you try to set the house right, put out the fire, first you get out. One has to try to escape. So we have to have the seriousness to escape from this material world. Unfortunately, in the modern society, it is covered by the ignorance of Kali Yuga. It is like a pitch dark night. You cannot see what is what. You cannot see what is reality. Nimudanana pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the muda, the fool, cannot perceive the Atma and the body. And jnana chakshusha, one has the jnana, he can see the Atma tattva. So all of you are fortunate assembled here, because you are getting the knowledge of the Atma, the soul. So you can actually become knowledgeable. If you are giving food to a person, he will eat it and in another 5-6 hours he will pass through and it is finished. That's all. The best thing you have done is to give him little food and make him pass through. That's all. Whereas Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they gave the Jnana Dan, the charity of knowledge, some 500 years ago, and see today. The ISKCON Society is established in over 600 centers worldwide, and every center is like a beacon light for the society, distributing so much wisdom to people. And more than 1 million people on the globe are taking to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and leading a very happy, peaceful, spiritual life. And not only they are living themselves, they are distributing this knowledge to more and more people. If 1 million people distribute this knowledge to one each, it becomes 2 million. And 2 million distribute to one each, it becomes 4 million. So it is going to multiply, this knowledge is multiplying. And a man who has become Krishna conscious, see his needs. What are his needs? It's very simple, whether he is a grihastha or whether he is a brahmachari. His needs are very simple because he is not greedy. Immediately, one's greed is vanquished. Like somebody is asking, when I become Krishna conscious, I lose greed. Without greed, I cannot come up. But what about Arjuna? He heard the entire Bhagavad Gita. At the end of which, what did he do? Did he go to the forest and become a sadhu? What did he do after hearing all the Bhagavad Gita? Nobody knows? Started fighting. Is it not? So after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he performed his duty with so much vigor and with so much confidence and courage after hearing all the Bhagavad Gita. In the same way, all of you here, you are all hearing this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Are you going to wind up your job and become a dullhead and leave aside your job? That didn't happen to Arjuna. So why will it happen to you? You are hearing the same knowledge. So you will get more vigor to perform work. But the difference is Arjuna was working on behalf of Krishna. So you will work hard, tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam, it is said. You perform tapa, but for a divya purpose. Divya means transcendental purpose. So working hard like a donkey simply for setting right the problems of the world without reference to God is what is condemned. If you try to put God far away and you're trying to sort out problems of your life, that is utter foolishness. But if you bring in God into your life and in a God conscious way, if you work hard for the purpose of God, then it is not God content. So a devotee is not greedy, but a devotee works to fulfill the mission of Krishna in this world according to his prescribed duties. He does his prescribed duty properly, and he need not be greedy at all because he knows that God has created this world for everyone. It is not only meant for me. A greedy man thinks the whole world is meant only for me and others have to be kicked out. I have to enjoy this whole world alone. He is trying to gradually usurp everyone else's property. That can never bring him to the platform of peace. So this point, please kindly all of you take it to your heart, that if you want to really do good to people, you have to be sinless, first of all. You have to be free from all sin, otherwise you cannot good. Either you become free from sin and then begin doing good, or become connected to those who are free from all sins and work on their behalf. Which is better? Second one is possible for us, because we are certainly not sinless, but we can become connected to those who are sinless people, and we can work on their behalf and bring about happiness and prosperity to the people. It is possible because they are seeing through. Like Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of a fish out of water. Prabhupada is able to clearly see that the human beings are exactly like fish out of water. Like a fish can be naturally happy in water, similarly only in God consciousness can the souls be truly happy. So Prabhupada can clearly see that, and he is telling us that you go and preach the Krishna conscious philosophy to the people, and by taking to it, they will become happy. So Prabhupada said, I made all the hippies into happy, and it is true. He converted all the hippies and made into happies. So all those people, do you know the hippies were not actually beggars in the street. Hippies, they come from the most well-to-do families of America, and they had all posh facilities and luxuries at home. But they discarded all of them at home and they went to the Bowery. Why? Because they felt the hedonistic way of life, the American way of stereotyped life, is a boredom. They hated it. They wanted a change. They wanted to find out, is there anything in life? Is there any purpose of life? So they wanted to know that. So they grew long hair like the sages of India, who were growing long jatas. They were growing like that. So Prabhupada went and gave the knowledge. Immediately they cut off their hair. Those who wanted to marry, they married. Some of them became brahmacharis. So they became very greatly saintly people. And they started preaching Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada made a revolution by satisfying the most frustrated people in the world. He proved how Krishna consciousness can satisfy anyone. They were actually so frustrated that the trouble caused by them could not be set right even by the best of the policemen in America. The drug addiction and the criminal reports that were coming, they were going so much out of control from the hands of American police. But Prabhupada, simply by giving the Hare Krishna mantra and by preaching Krishna consciousness, he transformed their hearts completely. And they all gave up all the bad habits. And they became very great Krishna conscious devotees. So here is a practical application of the Krishna conscious philosophy. It is not a mere theory. In fact, Prabhupada began Krishna consciousness with this particular incident of preaching to the hippies and turning them into hippies. So what more evidence do we want? We all are actually Indians. Is there anyone here born outside of India? Everyone is an Indian. And you already know Krishna. You cannot hide yourself. Everyone knows Krishna even before coming to ISKCON moment. If one does not want to take the Krishna consciousness, it is only a rebellion that is there in our heart. By which you want to escape from God. We just want to go away from God. So Prabhupada used to say, Indians are this close to Krishna. But Americans are so far away from Krishna. Only difference is, Indians are so close, but they are turning their face on the other side. Americans are far away, but they are looking at Krishna, so they are coming very fastly. Closer and closer like that. So that is our problem. So we are turning, so we have to do about turn now. Take about turn and look at Krishna, then you will become Krishna conscious. So don't waste your life. So all the social service may appear good, giving food, clothing, shelter. And already our government has tried it. We are not the first ones to think about that. We are not such a generous people that we are the first ones to think, let me help the poor people. Government has given. Now Bangalore government, you know, Bangalore is called as an air conditioned city, you know. It is a beautiful city. Very nicely laid roads, nicely marked parking lots and everything. So the government thought the people are just, the slum people are spoiling the place. They are like a disgrace to the city. Somehow we have to get them out, but they were not ready to move. So the government gave them very nice quarters, nicely built, single room quarters, littered up with light and water facility, and told them, please live a very decent life. And they all occupied the house. Next month the government saw nobody was there in the house. And these people had sold out the house to somebody and gone away, again back to the slums. So they sold one house for 10,000 rupees and they were living again in the same old place, slum. So how are you going to rectify these people? And people who are drunkards, people who are smokers, no matter how much you give them money, how much you give them food, how much you try to raise their standard and bring them to proper standards, these people are not ready to change. They are again and again going back to the same position. Because everyone is offered a particular lifestyle according to his previous karma. Those who are living in the slum, they are actually reaping the fruits of their own action. At best, if you want to do something good to them, you can give them some prasad. That way you are initiating their spiritual life. By giving some prasad to them, by eating the prasad, and even saying Hare Krishna once, they are bringing their spiritual life. So, people often take up this one thing. Food. His goal of life is to eat food and pass stool. Is that the goal of your life? And you want to see the whole world eating food and passing stool, there is nothing else, your goal of your life. This is one of the things. But here is a solution where you give Krishna consciousness to people, they lose the greedy propensity, and then everyone immediately releases all the money that they have stored for so long. Isn't it in their kajana? All the wealthy people have stored, like in ISKCON also you can see. And wealthy people, very very rich, going in posh cars and huge bungalows they have. As soon as they come to temple, as soon as they become life member of ISKCON, or when they become devotees of ISKCON, immediately they start releasing money for their football life. They give out, take 10,000, 10,000, 20,000 lakh. I was hearing in Bombay, I was in a meeting yesterday, the regional divisional council meeting. So Bombay president was telling me, Bhima Prabhu, he said, for football life, we don't have any debt of money, he said. We have lakhs of rupees. We have got 50 lakhs we want to finish up. We want to cook khichdi and distribute to poor people. And he was telling me, I am afraid more donations are coming now. And before the more donations come, I want to exhaust this money, he said. I want to cook and distribute to the slums, he was telling me when we went this time. So people are giving lakhs of rupees. How? Because they are becoming God conscious. So when a rich man is given knowledge about Krishna and how the food can be offered to Krishna and then be distributed to poor people, they release all the money that they have in the kajana. So if you create locally and state-wise and globally all over the world Krishna consciousness, then people will lose this greedy propensity. This greed is like a virus. It has to be removed. When viral fever goes away, how do you feel? you feel so normal and so happy. Similarly, when you take the element of greed from your heart, one can be truly happy. In ISKCON, there are so many educated people, there are doctorates. They have given up everything. They are wearing saffron clothes after finishing a doctorate degree from Cornell and from Massachusetts. In fact, if you are having a degree from MIT, Massachusetts, USA, you can get about, you know, 1 lakh per month in India very easily, without much difficulty. But these people are living as full-time devotees in ISKCON, just eating little khichdi in the evening, going out and preaching. How are they so happy? What makes them happy? Krishna consciousness is so powerful that gives us such internal happiness which is never defeated, which is your eternal birthright and property, that all the material facilities of the world will be finished sooner or later by the force of time. So let us not become deluded by the superficial service of the body, giving food, clothing, shelter. Food, clothing, shelter will automatically come when one becomes Krishna conscious. I was giving the example of Mrigari. Mrigari became Krishna conscious. He broke his bow, which was his only profession. Hunting was his only profession, but he broke his bow. But when he became Krishna conscious, everything that he needed came. Food came, clothing came, shelter came, everything. He didn't have to run here and there. Krishna brought you everything. You just become Krishna conscious. And become free from sin. Do not commit sin. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. If you give up these four things, all your sufferings will end. There are no more sufferings to you in your life when you follow these four principles. So this is the solution given by Krishna. He says, give up this sinful mentality, propensity to commit sin. Give it up. If you give it up, immediately you will become a happy man in this world. And all devotees within ISKCON have a practical realization of this. All of you are also becoming devotees of ISKCON. So you see it for yourself, how there is a transformation of heart. What you were 1 year before and what you are now. You ask yourself how you are changing. You can see that. So you can change yourself and you can bring about change in society. So which is better, communism or capitalism? Papa said spiritual communism is the best, he said. Spiritual communism means the communism which has God as the center. That is the best thing for the society. Then the whole society can be at peace. Hare Krishna, I'll end it here. It's quite late. Maybe 1 minute, we'll, 1 or 2 minutes we'll do kirtan and we'll stop here. We shouldn't go later than 10.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.